Is the April 10th, 2014 meeting of the Board of Directors of the Kensington Police Protection and Community Services District. I'm Len Welsh, President here, and I'll take roll for the rest of us. Mr. Toombs?
Present.
Ms.
Lipscomb.
Lipscomb. Sorry.
Just remember, Big Daddy Lipscomb, the wrestler. Here.
Pat Gillette.
Here.
Thank you. We're now going to go into closed session. Oh, I'm sorry. And Tony Lloyd is absent tonight.
Huh? Is there nobody here for?
Nobody here in the public, so we won't be taking public comment.
I don't want you to do this.
I'm very drugged up, so you're going to have to bear with me. Welcome, everybody, to the April 10th, 2014 meeting of the Board of Directors of the Kensington Police Protection and Community Services District. I'm Len Welsh, the President, and I'll take roll call now. Charles Toombs?
Present.
Linda Lipscomb?
Present.
Patricia Gillette?
Present.
And Tony Lloyd is not here tonight. He's home ill. We just finished a closed session, and as to all items, no action was taken. The first was conference with labor negotiators. Second was closed session discussion about the general manager, chief of police performance review. Third item was discussing possible contract extension for the general manager, chief of police. And the fourth item was discussion of personnel employment matters. No action, as I said before, was taken on any of these items. So, we're now beginning the open session of the meeting, and if anybody would like to comment on a matter tonight that is not on the agenda, we'd welcome you to step up and give your comment now. All right. In that case, we will move on to board member comments. Is anybody?
I'll take a swing.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry I missed the last meeting. It was one of the few times I've ever missed a meeting, but I was terribly, terribly sick. I understand you had a... I'm sorry.
Can you get the microphone closer, Tom?
Okay. I'm sorry I missed the meeting last week. Last month, I was terribly sick. I understand it was a spirited meeting, and I love those kind. I'm also sorry we kept you folks waiting until 7:40. We were busy in there with other matters. Welcome to the meeting. Thank you.
Linda?
Thank you. First, we're going to have a policy committee meeting on April 22nd in our continued revision of the policy and procedure manual. We are hoping very much we'll be able to present for consideration of the board a revised manual at the June meeting. Chief, that's going to be April 22nd, isn't it?
I think so.
I think the 22nd. Anyway, it'll be on the website, and it'll be posted 3 days ahead. Second, I've heard nothing regarding the lights. I think I'll give them a ring at John Gioia's office and see if they are ready to get together that one more meeting for the lights on the Arlington. I think that issue has kind of come to a settled position at this point. We have no more complaints about lights being in people's houses, shining in people's houses. We have no more complaints about lights being too tall and in people's views. They've taken care of some of that. We have had the decorative light installed down in the business area, and we're at the last leg of that journey. So I will give a call to John Gioia's office and find out if there's going to be another public meeting regarding the character of the lights on the Arlington, but I've heard nothing yet. I also wanted to mention I got a letter from Andy Katz from the East Bay Municipal Utility District. Did the other board members get one?
No.
Oh, okay. It's about just a reminder that we're in a drought, and all local officials should stress to their constituencies that it's important for us to conserve water. And the suggested amount they're saying they'd like to see us save is 20%, and I think that's a good thing to mention. With that, that's it.
Thank you. Pat?
I have none. Other than hello, everyone.
I'll just say briefly that I mentioned last meeting that we have made a request to the fire department that we be able to lease the public safety building from them for essentially zero rent, $1 a month. There was another meeting on that issue last night at the fire board. I was not able to attend because I was sick, but no action has been taken yet on that request, although I suspect there will be some action taken shortly. Yeah, that looks lonely over there.
You want me to come over there and sit next to you?
No.
Okay.
I just want people to know I'm not being antisocial.
Okay, we know that.
Okay, next we have approval of the consent calendar. I want to, before I ask for a motion to approve it and adopt it, I want to note that at the last meeting, there was a woman named Ms. Delk who gave a comment that she had been misrepresented in the minutes of the March board meeting, or rather, not the March board meeting, it was December board meeting, 2013. And Lynn Walter was kind enough to look into that, and she found that, in fact, we had not quite gotten the minutes right, and she listened to the transcript, and if you look on page 11 of your notes, you'll see that what she said was, quote, option two was counterproductive, and she was referring to the two options that were being considered for the contract with Bayview Refuse and Recycling. So the item there, item B in the consent calendar, is to adopt that change to the December 2013 minutes. Actually, before I move, before I ask for that motion, I neglected to ask for staff comments. General Manager in Chief, did you have anything you wanted to say?
Just one. Lisa Corona asked me to just let everyone know that the website's been updated with all the park building committee's information on the community center safety project. So if you go to the website, there's an easy click-on box there. It'll take you to all the documents associated with that project. So I've already directed a couple people to that that information. So that's all.
Thank you. Lynn, did you have anything?
The report that you need to sign for each paper will be ready tomorrow. And so two directives can come by for signature by the
public. Okay, we'll figure that one out. Thank you. Okay, do I have a motion to adopt the consent calendar?
Actually, there were two things I wanted to pull. I'm just looking over my notes. Could we pull item F and item H? Item F is the training and reimbursement reports. And item H has to do with the general manager's, the police department report. I just wanted to note that a lot of these expenses we're getting are actually reimbursed by post, which is terrific. And I just wanted to make sure you're double-checking all the officers' submissions for post-reimbursement possibilities.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. That's a great saving.
Can I?
Yeah, please.
Unfortunately, post suspended all reimbursements in January. So what happens is it goes in their files, and then when funding becomes available, then we get catch-up.
So the ones you have here are, I see a lot submitted by Officer Turner, other police officers, those are potentially reimbursable if post gets money.
Right, down the road.
Good. Okay, so it's a little bank account we have. And the second one, I was on page, the police department update here. I was really surprised to see that there was evidence of a fraudulently filed complaint against the police officers.
Yes.
Isn't that a criminal offense?
Yes.
Misreporting it, has the person been charged for the potentially criminal offense?
Well, unfortunately, the way that unfolded, that was initiated by me after hearing what occurred, comments made in the community. So the person never came in, and we have a particular personnel complaint form that you sign under the penalty of perjury. And had that happened, but this individual didn't even know that the investigation was conducted.
Okay.
So
there's no possible, I mean.
There's no, we can't go after this person on criminal charges, no.
Oh, okay. Okay. Those are the only two points I had. I also see here that there was a spirited discussion about the police district and the Board of Education, and I note that
that's all going to come up for board discussion sometime in the future with a proposal?
We're hoping, we're shooting for the May meeting.
And that's the school district sending a proposal for
right.
board and public discussion. That's great. That's great. Those are the only things I wanted to note. Thanks.
All right. That being said then, do I have a motion to adopt the consent calendar?
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes. Okay. item number one, General Manager Harmon.
All right, so every year, the board needs to approve the resolutions prepared by NBS that initiate the process of collecting the park tax assessment pursuant to the Landscaping and Lighting Act of 1972 that established the Kensington Park Assessment District. The first step in the process is the approval of Resolution 2014-02, which is the initiation of the proceedings for the levy and collection of the assessments for the Kensington Park Assessment District for fiscal year 14-15. The second portion of this process is the approval of Resolution 2014-03, which is the approval of the annual report for the Kensington Park Assessment District for fiscal year 2014-15. A copy of that report, titled Engineer's Report for Fiscal Year 2014-15, is attached to the resolution for review and board approval. The third step in this process is the approval of Resolution 2014-04, which is the board's declaring its intention to levy and collect the assessments for the Kensington Park Assessment District for fiscal year 2014-15 and set the public hearing for Thursday, May 8th at 7:30. Once Resolution 2014-04 is passed, we will need to publish it in the local paper at least 10 days prior to the May 8th meeting. The total assessment to each dwelling unit this year is $15.24. which was increased over last year from $14.87, with a total of 2,188 parcels to be assessed. The total balance to the levy will be $34,334.92. This revenue can only be used for maintenance of the new park. And when you get your budget, the first version of your budget next month in May, you'll notice that on the maintenance of the park, we split it into new park, old park. So this assessment revenue that we receive from the assessment can only be used to maintain the new portion of the park. And then the final step of the process will be holding of the public meeting May 8th and the approval of Resolution 2014-05, which will be the actual board telling the county to actually collect those assessments. Do you have any questions?
I have one question. So the third item that's on page 135, are we adopting that? Are we proposing to adopt that tonight, or is that going to be adopted at the proposed to be adopted at the May meeting?
I need that one adopted tonight. That's the one that we'll actually publish in the newspaper, notifying the public of the May meeting.
Okay, comment, discussion?
I have a question. Chief, is this assessment an assessment in perpetuity? Does it have an end to it, or is it always going to be attached?
It's always going to be attached to it as long as we own the property, yeah.
For the new park?
For the new park, yes.
Seems like that's a pretty good deal for that additional acreage. We got a very good deal there.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the problem is the maintenance is actually, we incur more maintenance expense than we collect in assessment to cover it.
Mm-hmm.
So it helps, but it doesn't cover the cost of maintaining the new park.
As background, just so you guys realize, the school district was talking about selling that, so you had a choice between either having parks out there or condos. So the community decided to turn it into a park. So yeah, it may cost us more money, but it beats having condos out there. And it also is a public facility that's widely used throughout the community. So yeah, it costs us money to maintain, but boy, we sure get a payback from the utility of the park to the community. So I think it's worth doing.
Well, it's more than worth doing. The $34,000 a year to maintain that.
And not having condos out there?
Extraordinary.
Yes, that's exactly right.
It was surplus property.
Yeah, it was surplus property. The school could have sold to anybody. But the district joined together and actually decided to buy it. So it was a good investment.
And look at all the people who worked on that. Remember Jack Griffith and Ilo Copestri and others that worked on landscaping it. Ted Osmondson was in on it. All the people who came forward to make it the beautiful park that it is. So I think it's a wonderful thing.
Okay.
Any other comments on the board? How about you folks? Any comments from the public? Questions?
Can you give us a sense of what the expenditures are already for $34,000?
It's actually in the engineer's report.
It is in the engineer report, but just to give you a brief one. It goes for our maintenance contractor, the guy that mows the lawn, cuts the trees. It goes to remove dead trees. It goes to repairs in the new park. It goes to the maintenance of the public restroom. That's part of the new park. So all the maintenance functions, the drainage issues, irrigation, lighting, electric bills, everything that goes into actually maintaining the new portion of the park is what we use that funding for.
Anybody else?
I don't understand why all of the councils are listed on the general management report. There are 40 pages of projects. From what I can see, they're all 15.4. What was the sense of listing them all?
That's the engineer's report. That's what they have to do, actually. Believe it or not, you have to show the parcels being assessed. And some of the parcels, I don't know, this is a nuanced report here. Some of them actually have factors where there might be a duplex on it, and it's not just twice the assessed rate. There's a factor you build into it. So you see something like a 1.536 EDU. But this is what the engineer's report requires we do. We have to show each assessed parcel and whether it gets an EDU of one or something else. And certain vacant lots and other properties aren't even included in this because they don't get charged. So
since you forgot to put all of them, they won't
have. Oh, yours isn't in there? Oh, well, we can add it in there.
I was looking for mine, too. I didn't see it.
I wouldn't know where to look or how it runs. But that
might be an admission against interest.
Look up your parcel number. You'll find it that way.
Why didn't I think of that?
Any other comments? All right, so we're talking about three resolutions here.
We have to take an order.
Yes, we do. First one is 24 KPPCSD resolution 2014-2002. Do I have a motion to adopt that?
Do we need to read it into the record or not? Chief, do we need to read it into the record?
No. I move that we adopt 2014-02 as written.
I'll second that.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? None. Motion passes. Is there a motion to adopt KPPCSD resolution number 2014-003?
I make a motion that we adopt resolution number 2014-003.
003.
It's actually 03.
03.
I'll second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. And we need a third motion to adopt KPPCSD resolution 2014-004.
I move that we adopt resolution 2014-04.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion passes.
That was hard work.
Don't leave, guys. You have to sign this before the night's over.
Right.
Okay, the final item on the agenda is to kick off a discussion about what folks in the community would like to see addressed in the request for proposal that we put out for a new contract for garbage collection. Our current contract will be up in, what is it, mid-2015?
September 1st.
September 1st, 2015. We need to get going very soon on generating a new RFP so we can get bids on a new contract. And when we were talking about the rate increase a few meetings ago, a number of issues came up about the type of service we get. One issue was, what should the gap be between the normal size can and the mini can? Another issue was, should everybody be paying for backyard service, or only some people be paying for backyard service if they need it? So the plan, my plan was anyway, to begin a discussion tonight, seeking comment from the community on what you folks would like to see asked for in the RFP. We'll be doing the same thing in the May meeting, and I'm hoping we'll get a better turnout to discuss this issue at the May meeting. But we had to start sometime, so we figured we'd start tonight. Board members, any comment on these issues?
Yeah, I'd love to see, I've talked to a lot of people who'd love to see composting attached.
I'm sorry, someone can't hear me?
Get that microphone, Chuck.
There, I think it works. People would love to see composting. Just to add to that, most cities actually have a very full, robust composting option, which includes meat scraps, a whole bunch of other scraps you wouldn't think would just be for compost. Most of the city buildings in downtown Oakland have composting programs as part of the recycling. And it's beyond just mere fruit and vegetable stuff. That's a great start, but there's a lot of other stuff people would like to add to. Anything to try to cut down the landfill contribution as well, it should be a model we shoot for, and it's a good start what we have now.
My understanding is that green waste is not supposed to go to landfill, but it occasionally does, not just by babies, but by other companies. We need to put something over the garbage to keep it from smelling too much or doing whatever it does. But the rule is that green waste, whatever you put in those cans, it says green waste, is not supposed to go to landfill.
Could I get you to say your name for the record, please?
Pardon?
Could I get you to state your name for the record?
It's Stephen Bell.
Thank you.
Well, I know there were a lot of comments that were raised during the discussions about the rate increase a lot of comments were raised in connection with the rate increase about encouraging people to use smaller cans and have less garbage and to recycle more. So it seems like that ought to be something that we at least explore. I don't know the financial implications of that. And then there was also the issue that I thought was really interesting, particularly for seniors or people who are living alone, and that was being able to combine. So two people could have one garbage can.
That's
and
interesting.
I don't know. I just thought that was an interesting idea to cut the cost for people who don't have the resources or don't want to pay.
So we would want the company to offer that as an option, that the neighbors can get together and pool for one can, one service.
Yeah, I mean, again, I don't know the economics of this. I'm a novice in waste, even though I'm a lawyer.
Yeah, one of can I talk to that? One of the things that was surprising to me is that the major cost, and it shouldn't have been, it should be obvious, the major cost is stopping at a given house. And we really probably need to have everyone subscribe for garbage service. I mean, the ones on my list are composting, food soiled recyclables. Some jurisdictions have that, you know, paper napkins and other things that have soiled and are able to be recycled. Backyard service, a lot of talk about that. I think we should continue. I think we absolutely have to have backyard service. We got hilly terrain here, people who cannot get their garbage can down to the street or cannot pull it up to the street for some of the homes or who are infirm. And maybe we should be exploring the cost of that. Should it be spread over the entire population as it is now? Or should people pay a little bit more for their backyard service for that?
Yeah, if I could just say, I don't think anybody was saying there should not be backyard service.
Okay.
The question was whether everybody should be forced to pay for it, whether they want it or not.
Another thing is a better pickup plan for toxics. Right now, if you get, I know I had a house where a lady had a lot of paints, old paint cans and aerosols and everything else, and boy, it was a big to-do to go out there to Gertrude or Pittsburgh Avenue out in Richmond. I think, Chief, don't you have to have a permit to do that? I think I got a permit to take it and drove out there and they were closed and I'm driving around with a truck full of toxics and had to drive back out there again. Do you know what the current process is?
It's encouraged to have a permit. And the idea behind the permit process is they encourage you to maybe meet with your neighbors so that you can combine. So it's just one trip with maybe a couple of households. But if you go out there without the permit, they'll still accept it when they're open.
Do we know what the industry norm is? I mean, is there like a special collection place where people could drop old batteries and paint cans and that sort of thing?
Well, each community has I wouldn't say a designated area, but each county has various hazardous waste facilities. Ours, you know, we have one in West County. There's one down in Berkeley that takes a lot of hazardous waste. I think the El Cerrito Recycling Center handles certain hazardous waste.
Do you guys know, does anybody actually offer to make it part of the service that they pick it up at your house when they collect garbage?
That's one of the things that we're discussing as part of this. If, you know, you have, there are issues there. It's extremely expensive. Because hazardous waste, it's supposed to be transported in a particular way. It's one thing if an individual brings it in. It's another thing if you're paying a company to do it. And for the amount of hazardous waste that this community generates, I don't think it'd be cost efficient, but if that's something the community wanted, we could always put it as part of the RFP process. And that was part of the discussions. And just so the board knows this, to give you a little follow-up, we had a phone conference with representatives from HFNH Consultants and our attorneys to discuss basically where we're as we move forward with this process. And one of the things that came up is this process we're doing now, what we want to see in the scope of services when we go out to RFP. So that's one of the reasons we're having this discussion now. But that did come up with them. But it was kind of the feeling was it is extremely expensive.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I had a quick kind of question about the overall schedule for all this to happen. I mean, when do you want to go collect public input? When do you want to go out with an RFP? And when do you have to have it come back? And when will we be approving it? Things like that. Do you have any kind of timeline yet?
That's coming. One of the things that we asked during our Tuesday meeting was for actually two timelines. One, we were trying to get this done this year, and then another would be to bring this process into the next year. There are pros and cons that will be coming to the board in the coming months to discuss the two strategies of both. Mm-hmm. But those timelines, the scope of services provided by our attorneys as well as our solid waste consultant, will be coming to us as also their cost, estimates of cost. And I was hoping to have those for you by tonight, mm-hmm. but they're still working on them.
Okay.
Yep.
Lots of comments.
I just had a question. Who will be negotiating the contract for us?
Well, we haven't really identified that. President Welsh and myself were talking about a small subcommittee to actually work this process through. And work through the RFP process. The bottom line is, at the very end of the day, it's the board that actually makes the decision.
And the contract will be written by this HF thing?
That's part of the discussion. One of the things that we talked about during the Tuesday meeting was, I told them I didn't want to reinvent the wheel here. There's got to be other communities that are similar to us that we could actually copy their RFPs. And that process is the one we're moving forward with.
Okay. I'm Carl Kuya. I think I want to make some friends. I would like to speak in favor of Bayview. I like the idea that Bayview permits you to have your own cans. I think that's a big advantage. When you go into El Salido and you see those three different cans, they end up sitting in front of the house. And I think that looks terrible. This way you can have the type of can that you want to have. You can go into Berkeley and you can see a number of houses. I used to live on Arlington in Berkeley more than 50 years ago. That's a pretty nice house. They have three garbage cans sitting in front of it. That's a lousy way for the neighborhood. Now, the other thing that I don't like is that we spent, I think, $25,000 to have someone tell us what the average rate is for cities about our size. Now, it seems to me what we want to do is we call Pinole, what's the garbage rate? We call Albany, we call El Cerrito, and we call, I don't know, maybe Hercules. And we find out what the garbage rate for those cities are. And once we know this, somebody's probably going to tell us that we have roads that are a little more narrow and difficult to get to. So there's going to be some kind of an adjustment. But why should we pay $25,000 to someone for information that we can get? Now, I understand that I've been told that the Bayview people are difficult to deal with. And they may be. I don't know. But I think if they are difficult to deal with, then let us be difficult to deal with. But let's not spend $25,000 to find out what our neighborhood is paying for garbage.
Could I speak to that?
Absolutely.
Briefly? Just to let you know, I agree with you. But what you might
Chief,
not...
You've never agreed with me before.
Well, I know. The earth is going to shake.
Oh, that's not true.
Hold yeah. the presses.
But let me explain a little bit. I'll give you a brief history about that contract. We talked about this during our meeting, our initial meeting, when we talked about scope of services in the RFP process. Just so you understand, well, I'm going to try to make you understand. The rate review, the way the contract is structured with Bayview that was structured 20 years ago, is it's really not a profit when the contract calls for a 12% return on expenses. And the purpose of the rate review is to guarantee not that the rates themselves are in line with the industry standards, but that the expenses that they charge the district or in line with industry standards. And for whatever reason, when it has a lot to do with the lawsuit 20 years ago, but that's the way the contract was set up. So it's not so much, the study isn't so much for the comparison of the rates. You're absolutely right, we can just get that online. It's more of an industry audit to make sure that Bayview is not charging more, which they, in their expenses that they base their profit, it's really not a profit margin, their return cost on.
Pre-tax
but
profit.
Our contract really is profit. Up on September next year, right?
Well, August 30th, the contract is expires.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now we're going to have a new contract, right? And then
with someone.
Do competitive bidding. Now, I just happen to think that Bayview actually does a good job when it comes to picking up garbage. And I also... I'm one of the few people who thinks that it probably is a good buy. We don't have a lot of garbage with two people. Well, we have a substantial amount of recycling. We had a lot of green stuff, and it's gone. Green stuff goes 24 times a year. Everything else goes every week. So I don't really have any problem with that. I just object that we would spend $25,000 to have someone tell us what we ought to do with them.
Right, and hopefully that'll be addressed in the next contract. We won't have to do that anymore. And just so you know, Bayview is not out of this RFP process. The contract's expiring, however, they can bid on the contract like anyone else.
I don't want to believe they can.
I understand. I heard you. I'm just saying.
Were you also going to agree with me?
I agree with you that we wouldn't if we weren't dealing with a, if we were dealing with a company that only said, listen, we need an increase. This is the contractual provision for that increase. And this is what people are getting in the industry. We don't have that. We have a contract that requires us to do what is formally called a rate review. I can't agree with you more that it's a total waste to go through that process so that we can see if the trend of income stream that's coming in the future is going to provide them with a pre-tax profit of 12%. But that's what we have. And they are a litigious bunch. They're at the bottom of my list from the point of view of cultural relations. But then we're talking about garbage. And garbage gets picked up not only here, but it gets picked up in Berkeley, it gets picked up in El Cerrito, in Albany, in Richmond. There are a number of companies. I never hear people say, oh, that garbage company, it's so awful. It isn't rocket science. The aesthetics of it is what you're talking about, and I agree with you. We should be very sensitive to that. I, too, do not like the look of those three cans lined up, and I don't see why we can't ask for the company to bid it with using our own cans. Why not?
I do have one question I wanted to ask. We actually have to get an RFP. We just can't blind bid when pull somebody in. We have to actually go out to the market and put an RFP in place?
Yes.
So, we don't have the privilege of just saying, we like you, baby, you can stick around. We actually have to go out to market and have a competitive bid on it.
I think so, with Prop 218, I think we have to have a 218 hearing.
I don't understand why.
Blame the state legislature.
Well, for one thing, competitive bidding is going to be the best way to get the best price. I mean, that's one reason to do an RFP. That's a standard reason. If we just try to bid with them, we don't know what...
And because of Prop 218...
My wife also agrees with me, then I know something is wrong.
We always like to hear from you, though, Professor.
One of them. Oh, okay. Go ahead.
I agree. I've been here 40 years, and Bayview has been wonderful.
Could we get your name, please?
Rosemary Matteson.
Thank you.
And I have nothing to say against Bayview. I'm a little sorry that they had to go up so high, but I don't know the intricacies of all of that. But I live alone. I have a small garbage. They come out, they take it, and they go. And on the recycling, I do have to drag it up to the street, but I called them and said, I can't put it at the curb anymore because I can't deliver it that far. They said, fine, just put it where you can, and we'll take it. This week, I made a mistake and thought they were coming, so I called the recycling company to complain. She explained to me. She was very nice. I was wrong. So please, you ask us for our opinions. You're our board. Then listen to us. You don't seem to do this. You seem to have your own agenda, and you want us to follow your agenda.
Can I ask a question? I'm kind of puzzled here. We're just following the law here about RFPs and public service. We don't have anything else. The past experience with Bayview, it wasn't because of anything we did. We offered them exactly what they got in arbitration. Let me finish now. I will listen to you. So you're blaming us for something, and you're tar and feathering us for something we didn't do wrong. We do, believe me. Well, again, just to be clear, we do have to go with an RFP, and we do have to go a request for proposal. We have to put it out to public bid. We can't select the person the community likes the most. It's really a question of publicly bidding on these services. We don't have our hands are tied there. We just can't pick someone because we like them. We don't have that luxury.
Well, if I could I say something here? We are listening to you. I think they give us great service, too. I agree with you. And I think it's been said here, when we put the RFP out, that is request for proposal, that's what that stands for, they will certainly be entitled to bid. And, so they're still in the game. It's not like we're saying they can't bid. They're in the game. It's just that, everybody gets a right to bid in that process, and then we have to pick the best bid. The lowest, actually, I think the phrase the law uses is the lowest responsible bidder. So there's room. First, you know, the price is important, but also there has to be an indication that the bid is responsible. You know, the bidder is going to be paying, you know, the proper wages and that kind of thing, and they're going to be able to provide the service we're looking for and that kind of thing. Well, I don't think anybody's saying you should be forced to. It's just to provide that option if people want it to, okay?
I just have a question, Leonard Schwartzberg. My question is, the RFP, that's just putting it out for bidding? That doesn't cost us anything to put that out?
Oh, no, it costs us some money to prepare it. You have to put together public bid documents, and that's not something someone just cranks off the computer. There's a whole art form to building a request for proposal. That costs us time and money.
So we have to specify what services we want them to bid on.
Yes.
We have to give them exact parameters in order for them to bid, and it costs us a certain amount of money to provide those parameters.
Right. I think that's right.
Yeah.
Okay. In the arbitration, there was a study done. Wasn't any of that data developed in that study with respect to...
When you say arbitration, you mean the arbitration with Bayview?
Yeah.
I think that was discussions of Bayview's own internal rates and costs, not of the services offered. We're looking about a whole bunch of stuff with an RFP. Rates, services to provide, reliability, things like that, that go well beyond whatever was in the arbitration.
Add a little bit to that? The contract we've been under with Bayview has been enforced for going on 20 years. And when you talk about like composting and food waste and that stuff, in order to get those types of services, we have to ask for it and negotiate with whatever hauler it is. So this is our opportunity, the first opportunity in 20 years to actually develop or change some of the services that we've received. So that's what we'll be doing. And you're absolutely right. When we put this RFP together, we're going to direct the haulers that will be bidding on this process of what we're looking for as a community. That's what we're trying to do now, is get feedback on what the community likes. Now, I'll give you an example. One of the things that I need to have answered when I go back to the people drawing up this RFP is green waste. Right now, you have every other week collection. Would the community like every week collection on green waste? That is something that we can put in this RFP to be, you know, change the service a little bit. The food waste, that's something that we could add also. You know, composting, that's something else. So whatever the community wants to see in a new contract, this is our first opportunity in 20 years to actually incorporate that.
Why do we have to contract with someone to prepare the parameters that we want bid on?
Because if it's not done properly, you could be sued.
Also, this is really standard procedure for any government. This is what you do when you're a government entity. You go out, you make a proposal, you put very clear terms what it is your expectations are that you want to have. People bid on that, and then if you accept your bid, you're bound to the agreement that was to the terms that you set forth in the request for a proposal and what you accepted. So this is a technical document that has to be drawn up properly. It's no different from if you were going to have your house painted and you went out and went to five different painters and said, give me a bid on what you'll charge to paint my house, and these are the things that have to be done. You have to do the proper preparation, you have to do the trim, et cetera, et cetera. You would specify what you want, you would get the bids in, you would accept the bid, and then you would pay the money. That's all we're doing. We're entering into an agreement for services. But as a governmental entity, we have an obligation to go out and solicit these bids and to look for the best possible price that's reasonable for the services that we want.
This is not smoke and mirrors.
This is a process that has to be followed if you're a government entity.
And they all do it. I mean, this is standard procedure.
If the process isn't done right, I mean, individual haulers could sue us for not following the public process. Ratepayers under Prop 218 could sue us because we didn't follow the proper process. So this is unfortunately all about avoiding litigation.
Well, it's not about that. I mean, the law is passed so that it can ensure that the public gets what it wants. And we're obligated then to follow the law. So that's what this is about. It's not just to avoid litigation. It's to make sure that the public voice is heard. If people don't like it, go to your legislators and say, we don't think we ought to have to engage in this process.
I have another question. I heard something about trying to determine whether the costs that Bayview is claiming are in line with industry standards. Is that correct?
The contract we have with Bayview requires that we do a quadrennial audit of their costs and look at the current cost to make sure they're in line with the marketplace, and then build on top of that 12% return on their costs. So the whole purpose of our quadrennial rate review is to do just that, examine their costs as they relate to the industry. And then it's basically a full-fledged audit of their books and records.
And this is required by the contract itself that we're referring that was entered into 20 years ago.
And that's something we have to do at this point, or leading up to the new contract?
No, we're done. What we're doing now is talking about a request for proposal to ask the public for bids on garbage services to this community under very tightly defined parameters. It's a question of public bidding law that we have to follow. That's separate from an audit of expenses under an existing contract. They're apples and oranges.
What I'm trying to understand is the relationship between the audit of the existing contract and the...
There is no relationship. The audit of the existing contract is a quadrennial rate study we have to do under our existing contract. We did the last one in 2013. We don't have any more to do.
Okay.
We're talking separately about going to the public and asking waste haulers to bid on the specific services we're asking them to provide. That's a whole different thing than looking at one provider's cost of service to make sure they're in line and whether we need to have a rate increase. That's a different beast.
Over now with Bayview.
With Bayview, all we're doing now is finishing out the term of this current contract.
We're at peace now with Bayview, and we hope to keep it that way.
Look at the current contract. Yeah. It's on the district website, and it's a very detailed contract, although it's 20 years out of date. People don't do those types of contracts anymore. At the time we signed it, it was the standard.
Okay.
But do read it, because it'll tell you what the relationship has been with Bayview and what we're contractually obligated to do.
Okay, thank you for the clarifications.
Mm-hmm. Hi, I'm Anthony Knight. I'd first like to say that in my view, this board bends over backward to listen to folks coming to meetings as I have over the years. I think they do a very good job of listening, and it rubs me the wrong way to hear that someone thinks that isn't the case. I mean, you're welcome to your opinion, but I'd like to say, you know, that it's my opinion is very much contrary to that. With regard to the garbage issue, I'd like to express my own feeling of the feature of garbage collection, which is very important to me, and that it relates a little bit to what's already been said about having more than one can and the unsightliness and the messiness of that. The city of Berkeley does indeed have multiple cans, and the reason for that is because they don't allow the mixing of the garbage. And we had that here too for a while. We had those lousy little white cans with the holes drilled in them. And that was because one of them was for aluminum, and one of them was for plastic,
glass.
And one of them was for glass. And they were always full and overflowing and in the way. And it's terrific that you can buy your own container and mix them together. So I wouldn't want, that's an obvious feature, but I wouldn't want that to be forgotten in the negotiations. And second of all, the issue of paint and toxic waste came up, and I do a lot of painting, and I buy my paint at East Bay Paints down at the corner of San Pablo and Marin. And I noticed this year that each time I bought a quart or a gallon of paint, that there was an extra little charge tacked onto it, a fee. And I wondered about that, and I asked about it, and they said, oh, well, that's fee covers now the collection of old paint cans because it's toxic waste, and a lot of people have them in their homes, and they want to bring them in. And I said, bring them in where? Bring them into the paint store? And East Bay Paints said, well, a lot of paint stores do. They don't, but right across the street is Kelly Moore. You may know about Kelly Moore also at San Pablo and Marin. And the good news is now if you buy paint, you're already paying for somebody to take it off your hands if you know that and you want to do that.
Thank you, Anthony.
Yeah, well, that's a great question, and that perfect. Yeah, and I asked them that too.
Well, they do,
and they looked a little downcast, and they said, "Well, you know, we are a small store here. We're really pressed for space, and we know it doesn't quite sound right, but the fact is, right across the street, there's a much bigger facility, and that's the arrangement that they made." Well, I think it's just like sort of insurance. Everybody pays for it, but there's a limited number of dump off sites. Well,
you know, I wonder if that is that in like a tax that they pay to some state agency to enforce. Do you know where that money
can't,
goes?
I can't really address that, but it certainly seemed that way.
I suspect that's what it is.
I think you right. Can't buy paint now without paying that.
Thank you for that.
I'm Barbara Steinberg. I certainly want to support, and I believe all of us are in agreement, Linda, of you're saying that backyard service for garbage certainly should be supported and guaranteed. What I'd like to say is, though, some people have more need for this than others in terms of, and you were talking about a possible fee, which I would support in part, but Chief Harmon, you were talking about green waste, that some people need it once a week, some people need it or twice a month. We all have different needs. As long as they're responsible needs, I think we as a community need to support it. I would support once a week, even though other people may need, even though I don't need green waste to pick up as much as mm-hmm. others, but I would hope that other people would support my need for backyard service. Mm-hmm.
Good comment, Barbara.
It's very nice good to comment. Hear someone in the community be so community spirited. Thank you. That's a really nice comment.
Yep.
My name is Simon Broff, and I have a question about this $25,000. Is this something that every district has to pay to hire someone, or is this our district only because we don't have the expertise on board?
As far as I know, I think we have one of the oldest contracts in the area, and I think I'm not aware of any other community needing to have a rate review. You know, I've been biting my tongue here trying to get away from this, but just so that everyone remembers, this whole thing about the arbitration and this rate review that we had to pay for last year came about because the board...
Excuse me, I'm not sure that you're answering the question he asked.
Yeah, I appreciate what you're saying, but I don't think it...
Can I clarify your question? You're saying why do we need to pay $25,000 to do the RFP?
Where did that come from is my question.
Consultants for their... Pardon? That was the consultant fee to actually do rate review.
But why are we hiring a consultant? Is it a contractual requirement?
Yeah.
Your question is about paying for a consultant to develop our RFP.
That's right.
So and that's the question. Why is it something?
What? No, yeah. I don't know where that.
Okay. So there was $25,000 to do the rate review. That's in connection with the old contract that was required by the old contract. That's the $25,000. Separately, new page. There's RFP that's being developed, request for proposal for the contract going forward. How much does that cost?
I haven't gotten that price yet.
Okay.
That's one of the things they said at the beginning of this.
So the $25,000 was for a previous occurrence. Okay, that's where I got a little confused. So it is yet to be determined, A, if we're using a consultant, and if so, how much that fee will be.
We probably will need a consultant. We have to do it right, so we'll need a consultant.
Yeah, okay.
The question, no ballpark at all on that?
That's
yet?
What I'm waiting for.
Okay, so stay tuned on that.
Okay.
A. Stevens Dilk. So first I'd like to thank you, Lynn, and thank you, Lynn, for correcting the December minutes that I thought that option two was counterproductive, not that I was in favor of it, as the minutes originally said. So now for my prepared speech, since I'm not very good talking off the cuff. I appreciate your and some board members' assurance back in December that ratepayers would be part of the decision-making process when our refuge and recycling service came up for our consideration. And I'm pleased that you and the general manager have started the process and plenty of time for full and fair debate. In the past, Kensington residents have addressed the board and written letters in connection with the last Prop 218 hearing and the one in 2011. I'm sure our concerns are still relevant. Although there is scant information in the minutes of the meeting regarding these public comments, I assume all the letters are still on file and that they will be reviewed. Therefore, I will limit my specific remarks tonight, but give a copy to you of my past comments. The current rate structure with the high Minican rate increase was designed to, quote, help mitigate Bayview's future revenue erosion due to recent and projected customer downsizing. I see what's wrong here. I don't have my glasses on. Let me just correct this. According to an article in a Marin newspaper in 2011, written by a garbage contractor, most migration to smaller cans occurs in the first few months of a new rate year. So this should be reflected in Bayview's last 4 months billing cycle. A projected 11% increase in Minican use was built into the revenue calculation. I would like to know what the actual increase has been. The article also said, quote, care must be taken to ensure that any proposed solution doesn't remove incentives to recycle. I do not believe that a 10% discount in the Minican use will, as claimed by HF&H, maintain a proper financial incentive to recycle more and reduce solid waste going to landfill. Since 2006, Kensington residents have kept 58% to 61% of their waste out of landfill. That's better than the state mandate, but there is no significant upward trend in this diversion rate, and only a modest downward trend in the amount of waste going to landfill. Berkeley has a zero waste goal. Kensington still needs proper financial incentives to reduce, reuse, recycle. PG&E rate customers will be getting a climate credit refund for conservation efforts. The amount will not be based on what individual customers have paid. Everyone will receive the same amount because the Public Utilities Commission decided it was not fair to penalize those who had conserved the most by giving them smaller refunds. The same philosophy should apply to our waste management program. Reduction of refuse going to landfill should be actively encouraged and, until no longer necessary, rewarded. And my final comment, the district spent $23,500 on a professional survey to get a feel for how Kensington residents might vote on the community center bond measure, which would cost most property owners between $10 and $100 a year. By comparison, the lowest current garbage rate is $438 a year, with 80% of households paying more. I ask that a proper survey be sent to ratepayers to learn what they think about our service, which is currently the third most costly in 27 nearby East Bay communities, including those with backyard service. Even an in-house survey, that is one designed by staff, will be better than expecting to get a sense of what the majority of ratepayers really think by relying on the small number of residents who comment at board meetings, which generally represents less than 1% of households.
I have a quick question to ask you, actually. I actually think Bayview does an annual survey, or at least they used to, on service, happiness with their service and everything else. Hasn't Bayview done that in the past?
Yeah, they've covered it in the bill.
They've done it
in the past, but we haven't seen one in years.
I've done it. I mean, I've taken part in the Bayview survey, so there is a survey going on. It's Bayview survey, which may be very well self-serving. That's the only comment I have.
Well, I actually think it's an interesting idea. I mean, I don't know if it's possible, and I don't know what it would cost. I certainly wouldn't have it done professionally, because I don't think it merits that. But, you know, there are all kinds of online surveys you can do. SurveyMonkey, gosh, I think a monkey can design that. where you just go on and take a little survey where you could ask, you know, here are things we're thinking about. I don't know. I mean, to me, it's not out of the ballpark to say, could we, in fact, offer people the opportunity to voice their opinions on this in a different setting? I mean, I certainly wouldn't be.
Well, you know, where that really might be useful is if we get bidders on the RFP and we want to, you know, let's say we have three competitive bids, you know, a survey of those competitors, I think, would be really helpful for us, because if someone gets, you know, bad grades on service, you know, they have a low price, but you get what you pay for. So, we certainly could do a survey now, but I think that idea would be more powerful if we connected it with the RFP.
Then I have one other point, and actually this goes to your notion about a survey. We did a postcard survey where we sent every community member a postcard, giving them an online survey to take. And it was actually pretty good. It was pretty successful. It didn't cost us an arm and a leg. The trick is in creating a meaningful survey to get meaningful results that will help us guide through this process. But it can be done. It's not impossible. And it can be done at a relatively modest cost. I think the postcard survey / SurveyMonkey online was about $2,500. So, I mean, that's not a huge thing. And that's, everybody can take it. It's not meant to, you know, prove election results. It's meant to prove what are your preferences for this type of service, which I think is what you want. Well, that's the cost in his mailing the postcard out. But it's the only way to get it's the only way to really get every resident in the community the opportunity to participate online. You send out the card, you say, we have this online survey, here's the website, dial it in, and then the computers take over from there. But that's the best way to reach people. It really is, and it's expensive, but you'll get more input. We can point them in the direction of the library. The library does have computer terminals for use. I mean, we do what we can. If we can get 80% participation, that's wonderful. And I'd love to have it. It's I don't disagree. It's fine. If we can get a customer's needs and wants. We've had more speakers than that, trust me. We have. That's fine. Oh, I think it is actually. I've been through them. We've had about 65 people in the audience, even more at times. So we've had them
okay,
well attended.
Let's not argue about the past. Let's talk about the future.
Look, 218 hearings are hearings to provide the public with an opportunity to register their approval or disapproval of utility matters. This is what the whole thing is about. In order to get people to have that opportunity, we send out notice to everyone that they have an opportunity to dispute the rates that are proposed. Short of driving them to here to or putting the stamp on the envelope for them to send in their response to that, I don't know how much more we can do to get them to respond. I assure you that with the 218 hearing, we contact every property owner, and that's what will happen if we finally select a company.
So maybe we could ask the chief to look into the possibility of doing a survey at some point. And I see two ways you could do it. I like the idea, Chuck, of the postcard survey, but you could also, even cheaper, publish it in the Outlook and say, here's a number, here's the internet site, anybody who wants to voice their opinion through the online survey, here's how you do it. Because again, we're not going for complete, I mean, we'd love to have complete participation, but even more information than we get here would be better.
Years ago, we did that, as I recall, some of the old times. Ray, do you remember when we put in, or Lynn, you might remember when we put in an insert into the Outlook for a return, getting a return from the citizens regarding public input. And there's a very low return rate on that. I mean, a notice to go online maybe would elicit more.
Probably would. I think a postcard would be more effective. Yeah. But if we're trying to save money.
Since you are asking for comments from us about what it is we would like in regard to service, let me say that I concur with Mr. Knight that I value very much the mixed recycling. I remember the days when we were separating brown glass and green glass and white glass and having to put aluminum cans in a separate can, and it is so much easier to be able to put it all in together, including paper. I think that's very valuable. The other thing I would like to have in the RFP is a specification of the time, acceptable times of day and the days of the week that we could have service. Because I know that in Berkeley, the garbage trucks are out on Sunday mornings. They're probably out other days as well. It is particularly unpleasant to have a nice cup of coffee on Sunday morning and have the garbage truck come by and pick up from one of the restaurants around. So that's another thing I would like to see. I like the fact that the garbage collection is, I think, twice a week, and it's early in the morning, and they're in and out before most people are out on the road, and that's quite nice.
The other thing I am asking here, is it possible, since the old contract was negotiated 20 years ago and has the rate review in it, that the new contract would not have a rate review, since this seems to be the thorn in the side and the real problem? And I don't know whether rate reviews are customary in other contracts, but perhaps we could do without that. And the last thing, comment, is that it seems that when Bayview Refuse wanted out of the contract, they wanted somebody else to take over their contract. There wasn't anybody in the area who wanted to do garbage pickup in Kensington.
You are so wrong. The attorney for Bayview actually stood where you are standing now and said that that is an incorrect statement. In point of fact, what happened was Mr. Fagoni withdrew his assignment of that contract. He thought the better of abandoning Kensington.
He did not want to abandon Kensington.
Correct.
Is what you're saying.
So
I see. Well,
what happened was he assigned the contract as a threat to, okay, I'll leave you dangling, and he
then
signed the contract to another waste company.
And that company refused it.
No. That company said, what? We haven't heard of any assignment, because it was all a farce. And it was calculated to produce unrest in the community and certain assumptions. And they are wrong. And the attorney, however, stood where you are standing now and said that that was not the case, that Mr. Fagoni decided to stay with Kensington. It was not a question of another community, or pardon me, another entity not wishing to deal with this community.
I'm glad to hear that.
The purpose of the RFP will be to see what kinds of companies
are there. Yeah.
So it's just a bidding process.
And then lastly, I would say I'm very, very satisfied with Bayview Refuse and with the service that I get. I find that the drivers are very accommodating. If there is something special that I need, they're very polite, and so I would be...
You're excellent.
I would be very happy to have them continue.
Good evening. I'm Ray Barraza. I'm almost afraid to come up here and make remarks after some of the excellent remarks that have already been made, particularly Ms. Delk's carefully researched and prepared remarks, which made me almost get me in my seat because I had nothing to offer. But I felt this is an opportunity to make a few comments. And like the last, like Celia, I would say that my relations with the on-truck personnel, I would call them, and with the office staff at Bayview have been excellent over the years. I have not had to have any dealings with the owner, so I can make no remarks other than they all obviously be secondhand, and that's not appropriate. I am in favor of keeping the garbage cans the side of your house and not having to bring them out, or at least to encourage that type of thing wherever possible. I don't particularly like driving down the streets of El Cerrito or Berkeley on the evening before garbage pickup, or sometimes on the afternoons or evenings of garbage day. They tend to stay out there a long time. My worst example of, or extreme example of this type of thing is, older son lived in Brooklyn in Park Slope neighborhood for a number of years, which is an area of quite close into Manhattan, where there are many beautiful old brownstones that are restored, row houses, 20-foot lots. But they're beautiful homes. I tried to take a picture of these one time. There was no way I could get in there any day of the week without the garbage cans in there. It's just a part of their life. You have garbage cans in your front yard all the time. And quite frankly, I did not find it attractive. I found it a major liability to the neighborhood. So I keep that in mind. To the extent you can work that in, I would very much appreciate it. Regarding green waste, that sometimes sits out on the curb for weeks at a time because people have great difficulty understanding that it is twice a month, not every second week. And somebody earlier made a comment about the desirability of a regular schedule. They said once a week. I don't know whether that's appropriate or not, but a more regular schedule and somehow better publicity of when's a good time to keep your green waste out, as opposed to, oh, I thought it was this weekend, you mean? Oh, my, and here it is 2 weeks later, and the stuff is still there. It's, again, not particularly attractive. Those are both aesthetic comments, and I want to make them at this stage of the game as you're just beginning to formulate your ideas for an RFP. The last thing I have is a concern. I don't know what can be done with it or not, but I believe the present contract sounds like it is basically a cost-plus type of contract. The contractor is expected to keep his prices, basically his cost, in line with neighboring communities and just simply add on a fixed percentage.
That's
on
right.
That. And under that, I don't know whether there is any real incentive to look for ways to cut costs, because cutting costs cuts profit. If savings in costs could somehow perhaps be shared, some sort of incentive for lower the cost and you can keep half of what you save type of thing, I don't know. These are just ideas that have gone through my mind, but seems like now's the time to mention them. So thank you. Thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you.
Brief second statement. Just came up. Several comments have included how ugly it is to have garbage pails standing in front of our houses. And of course, backyard service is taking care of that partly, because you don't have to keep your garbage pail out for a day or two or whatever. They're taken out right away by the garbage company, by Baby Refuse. But why not add the service that Baby Refuse would also bring the garbage, the empty garbage pails, back to where they were in the yard, so then they're removed from the street. So we don't have that service right now. And it also would be very nice on windy days that they don't cap the pails, and I've had to go running down the street to get the cover to my pails. So it would be very nice if they could bring it back. That could be a service.
Hi, I'd like to add two comments.
Name for the record, please.
John Stein. And the good news is neither comment has been mentioned before. The first one is I think the RFP should have a question in there about either change of management or succession planning, so that the district would know what would happen. Should a company get purchased by another company? And or in the case of Bayview, if Mr. Fragoni were to pass away, which would be a real possibility during the next contract. I only say that because of his current age, it's just
no,
a real possibility.
Quite elderly.
Yeah. So the contract should have provisions in there for what would happen should a company be purchased and or in the Bayview situation. And the second one is very, very different than the comments tonight, which are sort of what people want, almost like a wish list. I think it'd be very helpful for the community to see what is standard practice. So what in general do all the other communities get? What do they pay for? What is common state-of-the-art garbage practice? And then we can compare and contrast with the reality of what most people get and the price with our wish list. And then I think you'll be in a much better position as decision makers to see what's reasonable and what isn't, and what things are going to cost. So just, you know, as an example, the comment about hazardous waste, my wife and I have looked into it a little bit. Hazardous waste is a real problem because what if it spills? It's a very expensive proposition. So it's not a question of would it be convenient. It would be fantastic. Everybody knows it would be convenient. But what are the liabilities and how much does it cost and how would you go about doing a cleanup, et cetera, et cetera. So I think it's really, really important that Kensington get a sense of what other communities do and what their contracts look like that have renegotiated their contracts in the last couple of years, because there's no reason for us to totally reinvent the wheel only because of our own, we're just naive, we just don't know. We're all a little uneducated, and we all need to get educated very fast, so thank you.
Thank you, Bob.
Any other comments? Going once, going twice? Well, thank you for staying here and giving us your best. As I said before, we'll be looking for comments at the next meeting as well. And you've given us a lot to think about, and we appreciate it. So I guess with that, comment? Go ahead.
I do have a request of the Outlook editor. If you would make sure that you prominently inform the public that we will be having a meeting next month where we will be soliciting comments in case our little survey thing doesn't happen, or even if it does, so that people understand that they should make an effort to come here if they have strong opinions.
Good idea.
And maybe they can, if they can't make it, they can send us a letter.
Yeah.
Let us know. Just send us a letter. I'd like to see this 1, 2, and 3.
Just so you know that we've already received, I think, 1 or 2 letters already. And I'll put them in the packet.
Yeah, we can just put them in the file and then we'll...
Yeah.
Because, for instance, tonight, I tell you the truth, the mixed recyclables, I just assumed it would be mixed recyclables the next time. I didn't.
That's industry standard.
I didn't
that's
have that as a point.
You don't have to worry about that.
So it's a lot of good input that way.
Okay. Motion to adjourn?
I move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. See you soon.
Thank you.
Me too.